The Too Lazy to Register an Account podcast episode number 36. Today is the 8th of June 2020, and I'm your host, Katie. Thanks for joining us. Our topic today is The Middle Way. This podcast is sponsored by the PodBot app. Create your own podcast today using artificial intelligence. PodBot.ai offers the easiest way to create your own one-of-a-kind podcast. Do you feel like you have something to say to the world? But lack the time, energy, knowledge, skills, and charisma to record your thoughts and publish a podcast? Well, now you can use a neural network to automatically collect information for you, generate unique content using OpenAI's natural language model, and then put it all together using text-to-speech technology powered by machine learning. Try it today on podbot.ai. Zen embraces these two opposites and integrates them to create conditions that can help an individual reach the higher dimensions of Mushotoku. After much deliberation, it was concluded that people seeking enlightenment in their quest for nirvana must avoid the extreme extremes of the middle path, the path to nirvana. Although he advocates avoiding both extremes, this prescribed path is now known as the middle path. In Mahayana Buddhism, the middle way refers to overcoming the sunyata emptiness and leading to insight into it. However, Buddhism believes in the unity of mind, mind and body, so this term describes reality in relation to the two dimensions of Mushotoku or the inner and outer dimensions. In Chan Buddhism, the middle way describes one side of perspective, which is seen as extreme polarity in objective reality. This is due to the fact that extreme polarities between objective realities are needed. In the 10th chapter of the Platform Sutra, Hurung gives instructions on the teachings of Dharma. Section 5, the middle way of Buddha corresponds to the Eightfold and Triple Path, and in Section 5, Ellis argues that the Buddhist tradition has not interpreted the Eightfold Path in stages, but has absolutized it and divided it into mundane, supermundane, secular, and monastic aspects. Starting from the right perspective, Ellis proposes meditation as a way out of the Eightfold Path by practicing Brahmavihara, expanding the possibilities for greater integration, and increasing the number of different aspects of meditation, such as the practice of Dharma, meditation practice, and meditation meditation. What might worry a traditionalist Buddhist, however, is that Ellis sees the early life, awakening and work of the Buddha as the beginning of his journey to the discovery of the self in the universal middle way. Ellis questions the significance of the historical Buddha because his life was a complete hoax and because he apparently lives in a world of universal insight contained in the Pali Canon. To interpret the teachings of Buddhism, Ellis argues in Section 6 that conditionality is limited to judgment, not a theory of the universe. In the second section, he warns against absolutizing Buddha's awakening, but rather regarding it as a highly integrated and transformative experience. In his first discourse, Buddha equates the middle way with avoiding the old way, the way to enlightenment, or the middle way between enlightenment and death. Nevertheless, some monks see it as an ancient road crossed by the rightfully enlightened of earlier times, he says. Hundreds of monks sit in open-air meditation pavilions, surrounded by tall trees and dense green forests, reciting what is the most important part of their daily practice. The middle ground has been confused with passivity, a kind of compromise of the middle, the road. The middle way is described as a combination of the old and the new way, or as a middle way between enlightenment and death. In the broadest sense, the middle way refers to the correct view of life taught by Buddha, in which all actions and attitudes create happiness for oneself and others. It is also called the middle ground of the Enlightenment and denotes transcendence or reconciliation between the extremes of opposing views. This idea is illustrated by Shakyamuni's own life as depicted in the legend of Siddhartha, the son of Buddha and grandson of the Buddha. With the insight into the meaning of life, he succeeded in reaching nirvana, liberation from the cycle of reincarnation, by extinguishing the flames of existence. The concept of the middle way has been interpreted several times in the 2,500-year history of Buddhism. It simply describes a path or path that overcomes and reconciles the duality that characterizes most ways of thinking. In particular, however, the middle way, which is praised as the source of wisdom, peace and nirvana, has been identified as the practical path, the Eightfold Path. The philosopher Nagarjuna made it clear that the teachings of this middle way are now understood metaphysically. In this sense, it can be considered a search for a way of life that gives a higher value to human existence and contributes to alleviating the suffering of the world. The house, the context of the palace, is dominated by conventional views that shun the path of more objective morality. The pursuit of fleeting pleasures makes us dissatisfied and we set out towards a lasting truth, in this case, it is this particular kind of view, which is absolute, that restricts the practice of people like Buddha. Once we get out of this context, however, we try to go beyond the group's loyalties and find the middle ground. We are prepared to use our own experience to find a balanced perspective that better suits our conditions. This was The Middle Way, by the Too Lazy to Register an Account podcast, and this was episode number 36. My name is Katie Morris, and I hope to see you next time. Until then, stay safe.